Good morning, world. You're listening to the No Illusions podcast on the Podcast Network. My name's Cameron Riley. Welcome back to the show. Been a little while since my last confession, Your Grace. Been busy with the other businesses at Suave Lifestyle Group and Perdomo Cigars Australia and Suave Digital, etc. Trying to create some cash flow so we can get back into building the new media business. But of course, the big news this week, the Osama bin Laden assassination, was something that I had to cover mostly because no one else seems to be talking about it. I haven't seen any other media coverage of it at all, have you? I joke, but what does concern me is the quality of the media coverage. Obviously, everyone's talking about it, but there seems to be very little critical analysis of the whole affair. And I've been having this discussion with friends and family, people online over the last few days, and I thought it was worthwhile doing a show. Tried to get my friend Anthony Lowenstein on the show today. He was not available, so it's just me. And it won't be a long one, but just some things to think about, perhaps. First of all, is in my mind anyway, is the question of whether or not we have the right to just willy-nilly, and by we I mean the powers that be in the West, but let's be specific and say the US government, do they have the right to willy-nilly assassinate people? Now, there are some issues about the Geneva Convention. There's some issues about US law. But in times of war, obviously, in a combat situation, the US government has the authority to assassinate leaders of state, certain individuals. But here's a guy who wasn't the leader of a country. Even though the US decided to call it a war on terrorism, there's nothing really that you're fighting, as people have said many times over the last 10 years, apart from a ragtag group of volunteers. So I have doubts as to whether or not the assassination was even legal. But even more importantly than that, and this is one issue, another one of the issues, I should say, which doesn't seem to get any play in the media, is the assumption of bin Laden's guilt. How do we know this guy was guilty of the crimes he has been accused of? Now, there were some video recordings, allegedly of him, where he allegedly admitted responsibility for the attack on the World Trade Center, 9/11, and other attacks. But, you know, we don't know who created those videos. We don't know if they were translated correctly. We don't know if that was even really him. And the man didn't get a trial. He didn't get an opportunity to present his side of the story. He didn't get, any sort of justice in terms of legal protection, the ability to defend himself, which we claim to take seriously in civilized countries. He got none of that. So there's just this assumption of guilt all across the media. I haven't seen a single media outlet yet saying, well, hold on, maybe he wasn't guilty. Maybe the charges against him were fabricated. Maybe he was a patsy. None of that is going on. Even the people that are saying that he shouldn't have been assassinated, people like Jeffrey Robertson QC, refer to bin Laden as a hate-filled man. But again, we don't actually know that he was guilty. It's an assumption, the assumption of guilt. And in our society, you are supposedly presumed innocent until proven guilty. And then, of course, we had a couple of years ago the news that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, under many years, as a result of many years of torture at Guantanamo Bay, confessed to being the quote-unquote 9/11 mastermind. But again, you don't hear that mentioned in the media this week. Everyone's referring again to bin Laden as the mastermind behind 9/11, even though we were told not that many years ago that it wasn't him. In fact, it was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And we've heard, you know, reports over the years that bin Laden was really just more of a figurehead, spiritual leader, financier of Al-Qaeda. He wasn't actually in an operational role. But again, all of that's gone out the window. So the media is just doing what it does so often these days. It goes along with the US government's meme of the day, not asking any hard questions, not challenging, not being skeptical in the slightest. And of course, anyone who is skeptical and asks questions, and what you would think is simple questions like, can you prove any of your allegations, is automatically flagged as a, as somebody said on Twitter today, a conspiracy wacko. Now, this is a very strange phenomenon. To challenge people in power, their version of events, and to ask for evidence should be something that we are all trained to do every day. It's not just people in power who lie. Everyone lies. The question is just, when are they lying and what are they lying about? And this is obviously also true of people in power. In fact, when you're in power, you probably have more motivation to lie than people normally do. So challenging people in positions of power, be it in governments or running corporations, should not be something that is seen as strange or evidence that you're crazy. It should be the norm. We should all be challenging the statements of governments and saying, well, that's all very nice, Mr. President, but can you prove it? Can you provide evidence that he was assassinated? Can you provide evidence that he was guilty? You know, it was only 10, 11 years ago when, well, 9 or 10 years ago when the US government, the Pentagon, the White House was telling us that they had absolute proof that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and the media just went along for the ride. A few years later, we found out that it was all bullshit, and the media did a mea culpa and said, wow, I don't know how that could have happened. You know, how is it possible that we didn't ask enough questions? We really didn't do our job very well. Next time, we'll be much better at it. Of course, next time comes along, and again, the media plays the same old yes sir role and just jumps on the propaganda wagon. So that's you know, should be very concerning to all of us, that as soon as you ask questions of power, you are branded a crazy conspiracy theorist. You know, not just WMD that the Pentagon has lied about. Chrissy just finished reading John Krakauer's book on the Pat Tillman story. And if you don't know the Pat Tillman story, the short version is Pat Tillman was a relatively high-profile football player in the US, joined the army when the invasion of Afghanistan was announced, ended up serving over there for a few years, was killed in the line of duty, had been turned into a big celebrity by the US government when he was over there, good-looking all-American sort of football player, was killed in the line of duty, and the US government told his family and told the general public that he was killed by the enemy. He was killed in action. But his family didn't believe it, and he had a brother who happened to be in the same platoon as him. And what eventually came out over many, many years, and only through the dogged persistence of Tillman's family, was that he was actually killed by friendly fire. And the whole thing was covered up from the top of the Pentagon, probably the White House, all the way down. And they swore everyone who knew the truth to secrecy. They tried to destroy all of the evidence. As rumors started to leak out, they told anyone who did know the truth to change their story, but not to speak the truth. This went on for years. And Krakauer also talks in the book about the Jessica Fletcher, that was Murder, She Wrote. I can't remember the name. The woman who was supposedly taken prisoner over there and was rescued in another Navy SEALs operation. Very big deal. I think Tillman was involved in the rescue operation. Apparently, all of the story around that was bullshit as well. She was supposedly captured during some sort of an ambush or firefight when really her platoon had gotten lost. She was treated, she was supposedly, in the official version of the story, treated very harshly by her captors when, in fact, she was given plenty of medical care and food and treated very well by her captors. It was all bullshit. There's all this spin. I read the other day that in 2009 alone, the Pentagon's PR budget was $4.5 billion. That's just the Pentagon's PR budget. Now, I don't even know many corporations that spend $4.5 billion a year on PR. But if you have to spend $4.5 billion on PR, it kind of tells you that that organization has got some trouble in spinning events, you know. If you have to go to that much trouble to tell people what you're doing, then, you know, you're not exactly being transparent and honest. My other issue with the whole Bin Laden story this week, Bin Laden, is how all of the versions of events have been screwed up. Now, you know, we heard initially that there were two helos that flew in, then there were three, then there were four. We heard that there were 79 men in the operation, then there was 20. We heard that Bin Laden was armed and was firing back. Then we heard that he was unarmed. We heard that he used his wife as a human shield and she was killed. Then we heard that he didn't do that at all and his wife was shot in the leg when she rushed somebody. But there's all these versions of events, and I've seen it explained. Rachel Maddow did a show talking about how that's the dangers of evolving stories. But how can this be an evolving story? The president and his staff, the Secretary of State and the Vice President and military commanders, watched it all unfold live from the Situation Room. They had soldiers with helmet cams. Now, there was originally stories that they had live vision of what happened in the kill room. Then the story was changed to say that they only saw up to entering the compound. But how can there be so many mistakes in the official version of the story in the first couple of days? I mean, for a story of this import, you've only got, what, they apparently got him in his bedroom. So how many people can you fit in the bedroom? Three, five, maybe? You had three or five people that were actually there at the time it happened. And whether the president had live vision of it or not, of a mission of this importance, with everything that's at stake with this, surely, you know, it wouldn't have been that hard for the president and his staff to get one version of events after it happened. Yes, Mr. President, we went in, he had a gun, he used his wife as a shield, we had to take him out. There's, you know, it's not that hard. It's not like there were 500 people there or 1,000 people and different versions of events. It's not like it was a battle involving two major armies. It was a very, very simple operation. Small group of people went into the compound. A handful of those went into a bedroom, allegedly, and may have shot this guy. So the president would have got the story of what happened, and that's, you know, there was like 20 people in his Situation Room, would have gone out and told that to the media. There's absolutely no reason why there should be such major details of the story, like Bin Laden was armed or he wasn't. He used his wife as a human shield or he didn't. Major, major versions of the story that were wrong. I mean, how is that possible in a situation involving this few people? I don't get it. Then we got the whole thing where they just dropped his body in the water off the ship. What the hell is up with that? Now, the rationale is, well, they, first of all, they said they were obeying Sharia law. But a lot of Sharia experts have said, well, that's bullshit. He should have been buried with his head facing Mecca, not just dropped in the ocean. And they also said that they didn't want him to be buried anywhere where his body could become a shrine. But that seems ridiculous as well. You can bury him in an unmarked grave, as is Wahhabist law, apparently. He would belong to the Wahhabist sect of Islam, and their tradition, apparently, is to bury you in an unmarked grave anyway. So they could have taken this body, used it to provide evidence that he was, in fact, assassinated, and then disposed of the body somewhere in an unmarked grave in the mountains of Afghanistan or even in Utah, for all I care. But they chose not to do that. They, you know, again, like the quick disposal of JFK's body after his assassination, or of Marilyn Monroe's body after her death, there seems to be, you know, this is a standard CIA modus operandi of getting rid of the evidence as quickly as possible. Pat Tillman as well. Body was disposed of very quickly. All of his belongings were disposed of on the spot. Whenever they're destroying the evidence really quickly before anyone can see it, I call bullshit on that. It's just very, very suspicious. As to the question of what motivation would they have to lie about this, well, I see there's three possible versions of what went down this week or what's gone on with Osama bin Laden. Number one, the version of events that we've been told is accurate. However, I find that very hard to believe because the US government and the Pentagon are habitual liars. Another possibility is that Osama bin Laden actually died a long time ago. You know, there's been stories. Benazir Bhutto, before she was assassinated, said that he'd been dead for years, and it was very well understood in intelligence circles. There were also stories that he died of kidney failure back in December 2001 and was buried in an unmarked grave in Tora Bora somewhere. So maybe he has been dead for a long time. The US government were just keeping him around as a convenient bogeyman. And they finally decided that it was time to put that whole story to rest. It's been 10 years. And it was convenient political timing for President Obama's 2012 election campaign. If you left this to the middle of the campaign, it might look a little, like a political tactic. If you do it right at the very beginning of the campaign, he gets to take credit now for the rest of the campaign as a tough president who was finally the guy that did what Bush couldn't. He caught Osama bin Laden. So, or perhaps they didn't catch bin Laden either because A, they don't know where he is, or B, they're in cahoots with him. I don't actually believe that, but it's a possibility, and we have to think about the possibilities. They didn't catch him. This is all bullshit. And again, they did it for political reasons. It was time to wrap up the whole storyline about bin Laden. And maybe they don't know where he is. Maybe they suspect he's dead. They don't know for sure. But they just, decided to run with this and to get political credit for it. We have to think about the possibilities. But anyway, the timing of it is very suspect. At the beginning of the election campaign, Obama's looking weak politically, has not had a great couple of years, has lost a lot of support from the Democratic base that he had in the last campaign. And here's a way for him to get some easy points. All in all, very, very fishy, the whole affair. But a couple of things I just really want to drive home. The media's not asking any questions. Why? Because, they're all about entertainment anyway. They're not really about keeping power honest. Secondly, none of us should be afraid to ask questions and demand evidence and proof of people in power. You can pretty much be sure that you're being lied to a large percentage of time by governments and people who run corporations. We should be skeptical. We should always be demanding evidence. We should always be asking hard questions. And that doesn't make you a conspiracy theorist. That makes you a realist. People lie. People in power lie. History shows that. Any number of books. Read Legacy of Ashes, Tim Weiner's, award-winning book about the CIA. They lie for a living. Read Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Read John Krakauer's Pat Tillman story. Naomi Klein's Shock Doctrine. Read anything by Noam Chomsky or Edward Herman or John Pilger if you want to look at the Australian government. Governments lie to us all the time. They always have done. They always will do. So it's not a question of could they possibly lie. It's when are they lying and how much are they lying. So this whole calling people a conspiracy theorist just because you ask questions like, can you prove it, is ridiculous. And I guess finally, this whole suggestion that it was legal and defensible to assassinate an unarmed man who didn't get a trial I find very disturbing. And even people like Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, Stephen Colbert on his show, haven't seemed to challenge or question the ethics or the morals or the legalities of the whole affair, which is disappointing because these are people I admire and look up to in their attempts to bring some challenging questions to the political world, and they seem to have just been going along for the ride. I haven't seen Bill Maher's show this week. It'd be interesting to see what he has to say. Anyway, that's all I have for you today. Keep asking questions. Thanks for listening. You can get me on Twitter at Cameron Riley. Interested in your thoughts and your feedback, or you can shoot me an email, Cameron@thepodcastnetwork.com. Cameron out.